All right. Thanks very much for joining us. Our next speaker is Chris Holt, also known as the left-handed goat.
Yep.
How did you end up being left-handed goat?
Well, I'm left-handed, and my nickname from when I was growing up was Goat. So I signed up for a Gmail account, Goat was already taken, so I had to be left-handed goat.
So Gmail caused your nick.
All yes. Right.
Well, I did notice that it's pretty consistent. So your GitHub is left-handed goat, your mm-hmm. Twitter is left-handed goat. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's definitely it sounds definitely much easier than getting Thomas P everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. So you're the author of the library called Canopy, mm-hmm. and that's what you're going to be talking about, right?
Yeah.
So what does Canopy do?
Canopy is, are you showing my screen or are you showing me?
I'm going to switch to your screen.
Okay.
And then you're ready to go.
Okay. So Canopy is, at a high level, it's just a web testing framework or a web automation framework that allows you to write code in F# to open up browsers, go to web pages, and then manipulate them by clicking them and typing in boxes and reading values to do assertions. Like Thomas said, I'm Chris Holt. I'm an independent developer, and you can find me on Twitter and GitHub at Left-Handed Goat. So what's Canopy? It's just a wrapper on top of Selenium. Selenium is kind of a ubiquitous web automation and web control tool that is cross-platform. There's a C# binding for it, so I was able to use that and just write F# code on top of it. The goal is to make Selenium pleasant to use because sometimes Selenium is a little too literal and it will fail quite easily. So I built in reliability and a bunch of features that Selenium doesn't have that you might expect. So it's more in line with kind of how you think. Provide a simple test runner and some reporters. So I have integration with TeamCity, console. I have my own little web reporter. And then it has a built-in test runner. But you could also use something like NUnit or XUnit if that's what you're familiar with. The goal was to make something that was easy for QA people who are maybe a little less technical to pick up and use, but at the same time not build something that developers didn't want to use because it was not powerful enough. And because it uses Selenium and because you can access all the Selenium bits, if you try to do something that it can't do yet, you can find out how to do it on Stack Overflow, and then you can still apply what you learned there to it. So I'll show you real quick. The website, this is there's documentation here. It's pretty good documentation. There's a getting started that will walk you through with Visual Studio. I'm going to do all my stuff on a Mac, but you can do it in Windows too. How to get started with Visual Studio, making a new project. And then there's a small snippet of code here that will kind of make like a Hello World type program for you so you can see how it works at a high level. It's available on NuGet, and so you can just install package Canopy, and it will install itself and all of its dependencies. And then the way I'm going to show you is a way that I just made recently, which is a little bit easier, because it's kind of got all the lessons learned that I've had in the past year, few years that I've been using this, called Canopy Starter Kit, which you can just clone, and then it has all the commands to run on both OS X and on Windows, and I'll show you that in a minute. So I think it's important to quickly talk about F# in the real world, because I know that's a question for a lot of the viewers. I have personally 3 years experience doing F# full time. I've done it at a startup company doing both UI automation, and then we also built some internal test management stuff using MVC. So you can do web development in F# like you're used to using MVC. My current client is a large dating website. It's match.com. I think it may be the largest dating website there is. And we use it for a multitude of things. We do UI automation with it. So all of the new code that they're writing for their website, all of the automated regression is done via F#. Their API, which is growing quite rapidly, is also all covered with F# integration tests. And their developers there are learning F# and writing their own integration tests, and they seem to enjoy it quite a bit. And then we also use it for internal productivity tools. So when we need to smooth out the workflow for developers so that they can develop more quickly and more accurately, we build tools in F# to facilitate that for them. And just a quick note, if you're interested in doing F# full-time, we are hiring for the testing, the UI and API testing team. And you can just contact me at lefthandedgo@gmail.com, and I can give you details on that. And then I also have a side project that I'm working on. It's both a product that I'm building, and it's a learning experience for me, turtletest.com. And everything in the entire stack is F#. So it's turtles all the way down. It's F# all the way down. We use Suave for the website. I use Canopy for the testing, and I even use Suave for like HTML generation and stuff like that. And I use Fake and Packet for tasks and for dependency management. So I'll give you a quick overview of how to think about automation, because it's a little, it can be new to, you know, a new concept to people if you haven't ever messed with it. And there is a learning curve to it. So it's very similar to doing data access. In .NET land, you would use ADO.NET. So the database is what you ultimately want to talk to. You're going to use DB connections and SQL readers and stuff. For that, you ultimately you want to get at the tables, the rows and the columns, and you use queries to do that. And then if you need to run code outside of what you can do with SQL, you can use the CLR. And it's the analog there for web testing or web automation is you'll use Selenium instead of ADO.NET. You can interact with the browser. The web driver is your main way of doing so. What you want to get at is the DOM and all the elements inside of it. To query it, you'll use CSS and XPath selectors and jQuery selectors. And then if you need to run, you know, real code, then you can write JavaScript and you can run your JavaScript in the browser via your test. So I'll give you a quick intro to selectors because it's kind of the one of the core bits of it on how to do it, how to be effective in writing tests. There's CSS selectors. If you have an element with an ID, you can just do pound and whatever the ID is, and that will pull that from the DOM for you. If you have something with a class, you can just do dot and then whatever the class name is. If it has multiple classes and you need to be very specific, you can do dot class dot another class. If you have something with an attribute like a custom attribute that has the name or something, you can do div, whatever the attribute is, and then whatever the value is, and that will pull that from the DOM. If you put a space between two elements, it's saying within this div, find this nested class. And then if you want to get like if you have multiple and you want to get like the second or third, you can do equals two or equals whatever your number is. For XPath, it's much more verbose, so I try to only use it when I absolutely have to. So in this example, you can see kind of towards the end the dot dot. What that does is it's going to find a div with the class of big, and then dot dot is going to go up a level to its parent, and then it's going to find the second div after that. So parent, you can't really do with CSS, so you have to use XPath for that. And if you want to see the inner content of your tags, then you have to use, if you want exact equality, you have to use XPath and you can use the text function there. So both, when you learn to do web testing, both of these things are like critically important, but both of them are skills worth picking up because as you get better at CSS selectors and jQuery selectors, it will help you with both writing CSS and writing like jQuery, you know, if you're writing selectors for the DOM in your JavaScript. And then XPath you can use for anything that's XML or HTML. So I'm going to do the rest, pretty much the rest of the talk, just live coding. I'm going to show you a couple different things. So I'm going to open up this code here, which I'll just go back to console real quick. And it's the starter kit, which is, I'll show you again real quick here. So it's left-handed goat. Canopy starter kit, and you can just clone it, and we'll just open it up. And we've seen pretty much every editor under the sun, so I'll show you one more. You can do F# in Emacs, and you can do it in Vim also, and there's some really good plugins to use there. So we'll just open up the main program file, and real quick I'll show you the structure of that of the starter kit in Xamarin Studio because it's a little easier to see. You have pages folder, which will have different page files, which just have different selectors inside of them. And then you can have your tests in their folders. And then we have just a couple helper files. So we'll start here at program and show you kind of what's going on here. So we're setting up a reporter, which we'll see in a second. We're going to, since it's a console application, we want to parameterize it. So we're going to pass in some arguments. We're going to parse them. And there's an excellent F# library called argue to where you can set up your args and you can parse them into some of the like discriminated unions like you've seen in the other talks. We're going to start a browser. So we could just say start Chrome or start Firefox, but we're going to take in the argument. Let me unplug the phone.
All right, we're still here, and I think we're ready to continue.
Sorry about that.
No problem at all.
Okay, so we're gonna start a browser, whatever browser you passed in, and I think I'm passing in Chrome, and then we're gonna register our tests, and then we'll run them, and then after we run, we'll quit. So I'll show you real quick, register tests. Here we can, towards the top here, we have under development. So these are the tests that if you're just writing new tests, you would focus on the under development section. And then here in all, we have all the tests listed out. So we have ones for different parts of the website we're testing. So let's just run this real quick so you can kind of see that. So here in the console, let me close out this. Here in the console, there's just a fake script. So you just do shell, build sh, and then devs, because that's going to be the ones that are under development. And run that, it's going to build our code for us. And it's going to launch two browsers. And you can see there's the report in the console. This page on the right-hand side was the test page that's under test. And then on the left-hand side is the report showing like what passed and what failed, and it has some information about, you know, when you ran it and everything like that. This HTML report is if things fail, it will embed images in it, and then it'll save it off. So you have just a single file that has all the information about your test run. So it's quite handy as an artifact after a build. So I'm going to turn off the reporter, because it's not necessary. I just wanted to show it. Oops. And if I want to, I can run the same task, but I can do full, or all, I'm sorry, and that will run all my tests. So if I want to do like a full regression on my site, I can just run all my tests. So the starter kit shows you how you can put tags on your tests, and you can define that this test is for different pages. And then you can have a workflow for your development flow, and then you have the ability to run all of them for a full regression. So we have 18 tests pass in 4 seconds. So I'll quickly jump in and show you what a test looks like, and I'll show you some of the cool features that Canopy offers on top of Selenium. So we'll go into test here, and the under development test is for our action page. So this is what a test looks like. You have a description here in orange, and then you have a function body down here, and the syntax is really terse, and that was the goal, was to create syntax that wasn't very codey looking. It was sort of Englishy, but at the same time, it wasn't too Englishy. So we're going to clear the first name, and we're going to check that first name is equal to nothing. Equal is not an F# thing, so I made my own infix operator that would take a selector and then a value, and then it would go find that in the DOM and make sure that it equals what you expect. And it has nice things like retryability. So if for right now it's not, because maybe an AJAX call is coming back, it will retry up to a timeout, and hopefully it'll become successful. So you kind of get to write code that expresses your intent and not necessarily how to do it, but what you want done. So it's a nice artifact of writing functional style code. So one cool thing about it is, and I'll show you real quick, here's the selectors in the page. So a common mistake would be to not do your selector correct. You forget the pound on the ID. So we'll save that real quick, and then I'll run and I'll show you one of the cool benefits. Oops. So let's do two things. We can put this, change it from three ands to four ands, and this is on the documentation site, and that makes the test a work in progress test. So instead of running all the tests, we want to focus on this test, and so it will run just this test by itself, or if we mark two of them as work in progress, it'll run both of the tests, or only those two tests. So let's run this. So launch a browser, and it's trying for 2 seconds because that's what I have it configured to, and that test failed. And it tried for 2 seconds to find it, and it couldn't. And you can see here on the console, and I'll highlight it to provide better contrast, it couldn't find an element with the selector first name. And it says, "Did you mean?" And what it will do, and it gives you the actual correct one here. What it does is it goes through the whole DOM and it finds out likely candidates, and then it runs like things with classes and IDs, and it runs an algorithm on it to compare what you did versus what it may be, and so it can offer suggestions. So we can go fix it and make it first name, and then it would work with a pound like that. But it's also common to like misspell stuff. So I changed it, let me show you again, from first name to first name because I hit a wrong key when I was authoring my test. See, it's easy to get letters flipped around and stuff. So we'll run that again. And it's pausing because it can't find it. And then here you can see that it failed and it gave me, couldn't find first name, but it found first name. So that's a really useful feature. And I think I forgot to fail or save this. So let me run this in WIP mode and work in progress mode one more time. And let me fix the selector. And I'll run a couple tests in work in progress mode so you can see it. Sometimes the tests go so fast that you can't tell what's going on. So I have this special mode called work in progress that will run the test more slowly and that will also highlight the elements that it's trying to interact with. You can see here yellow and green. And so you can see what elements it's actually getting, because sometimes you'll have two things on your page with the same selector and you'll be clicking the wrong one. So this will guide you through and help you basically debug your tests. Cool. So let me show you a couple, some of the features you have here. So we have a quality checking. Here on this line, we have the ability to type into the last name box the value Smith. So just those arrows will type in there. If you have an input, it'll handle that. If it's a text area, it'll handle it. If it's a drop-down list, it will find the right option for you and it will select that one. So it kind of abstracts over all the different HTML tags and kind of consolidates it so you only have to do one thing to make it work. So again, you get to tell it the intent instead of the actually how to do it. So those are really basic. If we had like a to-do list and we had items in it, so maybe they would have item. If you want to check that one of the items is milk, you can do milk, and then you can do sugar. And this star equal operator right here will say that of the many things on the left-hand side, one of them should equal milk. And if you wanted to make sure that you didn't have candy, you could do, oops, let me say star not equals. So of the many things on the left-hand side, one of them should not be candy. And if we want to make sure here that the last name isn't Doe, you can just do not equals like you're used to at C sharp. And then there's also things like regex equals. So you can click stuff, you can drag stuff if you want to drag an item. Do an arrow like that to the list. Let's do it like that. That's the syntax to drag something from where it is on the screen to a new destination. So a lot of the operations that you would do have really, really terse and really, really concise ways to express it. And then the test reads top down really nicely, just like a list of instructions that you might want. So you can build up nice little helper functions and whatnot to that kind of describe what it means to test and interact with your web page. And then you can have your QA people use those to compose bigger tests that do more meaningful things and test business scenarios. So this is just the starter kit. So you can just clone this. Works on Windows, works on OS X, and you can kind of see how to structure your page, and you can just play around with it and get started. You can just take an existing test and change it to point to your page. So I'm going to switch to Turtle Test, which is I'll show you that real quick. This is a website that I'm working on the side. It's a test case management page. So you have different applications that you may want to test, like your iOS app or your Android app or your desktop app. And then inside of each application, you would have suites, like you would have the login page suite and one for your main business function and so on. And then inside of each suite, you would have individual test cases like a bad password gets an error message and a good password successfully logs in. So I will show you some real-world tests that I have for this site and how you can use testing to kind of drive out your implementations and benefit and help you so you can as you write new code, you can make sure that you didn't accidentally break anything. So let me switch to that code. Like I said, this is all written in F#. And we'll just go to the login test. And we'll go to the view for that. And we'll quickly just add a label here that says, oops, hello F# comp. And then we want to test that it says this. So we'll just grab this screen and we'll go back to our test, paste it there for a second. And we'll just make a new test real quick. And we'll set this in work in progress mode. And then we'll just simply say that it should be displayed. Grab the screen. Okay, so we're just gonna check that the code that we just wrote is there. So I have a fake task. We'll switch real quick to Turtle Test. And it's run to run the test. And this is a little more involved than my previous one. And what it will do, it will build both my tests and build my website. It will start my SWAF server, and it starts really, SWAF starts in like 100 milliseconds or something, so it's really not a time sink. It will start it and then run my test, and then when my tests are done, it will stop the web server. So you can see that I, right there, I added a new label, and there it is, and I wrote a new test with it too. And it all can go pretty quickly. So you can iterate quickly as you add features and as you modify a screen, you can add stuff to it. Then if I run this test again, since I just removed that label, it should fail. It's going to wait a few seconds, it's looking for it, and it shouldn't be able to find it, and then it'll fail. And I think I haven't, oh, there we go. Yep, couldn't find it. Okay, remove that test. Here's some real, examples. Set the email and the password or something, click log in, and then it should display that it's invalid because it's a known bad email address. But the email should still be populated, but the password should be blanked out. So here's some real tests, and you can see they're very, very short because the page under test is relatively simple, but it's also really terse and really easy to do. So let me show you real quick what the full test suite looks like. That's pretty cool. It runs really fast, so I hope that Skype is able to stream it correctly.
We can definitely see it correctly. There's lots of clicking happening around on the screen.
Cool. So all the server side, or all the validations are on server side. There's no JavaScript or anything like that, and it can still round trip to the server, do the validation, render the new HTML very, very quickly. Yeah. So that's my whole test suite for all the functionality I have. It's 60 something tests and it runs in 30 seconds. So, you know, your automation suite can be fast if your website is fast, and it can be nice and clean and terse. And if you want to do, you know, all kinds of things, tests like your website and everything in F#, you can totally do that. In a lot of the previous talks, you saw people using REPL. If you want to, you can use the REPL as a part of your development workflow, so that as you, even if you're writing your code in JavaScript, like using Node.js or something, you can have a little window that's your REPL for your F#, and you can launch your browser, and then you can write code and have it live refresh, and then you can write your test as you go, and you can write your code as you go, so it doesn't require everything to be F#, but you could take advantage of the fact that F# has a really good REPL, and that Canopy is really easy to write and help you with your web development process. My friend Amir created this demo app for Canopy REPL, so you can get started there if you're interested in that. There's the Canopy Starter Kit if you're interested, so you can just clone it and get started. And then there's also the how to get started on the main website. So let me go back to my slides real quick, and then I think plenty of time for questions. And jump through this. Oops, went too fast. Okay, so to wrap it up, there's pros and cons of automation testing. So one of the cool things about if you choose to try it with F#, with Canopy, you get to learn some F#. Like you saw, the tests can be really, really fast. They're, you know, 100% accurate. And a person might not be. So if something is misspelled, it's going to find it where a person might overlook it. It's repeatable. You can run it at night or on demand when people are asleep, so you get that benefit. And you can use it to cover all the boring stuff that people don't want to manually test. Another good thing about it is that it's easy to sell, because you can just do a quick demo and you can show people how quickly you can run through your site and add benefit. Then it's a really good soft introduction to F#, and a good way to introduce it at where you work. And because a lot of times people don't want to do production code in a new language, so you can do some test code in a new language, and then once you get familiar with it and see the benefits, you can do some production code. With pros, we also have to have cons. Your test suite can be really slow, especially if your website is slow. It can take, once you build a significant suite up, the maintenance costs can be pretty high. You always have to manage new versions of browsers, new versions of operating systems. Selenium has new versions that come out, and then the associated web drivers. And you have all the combinations of those. So it can be challenging to do if you want to cover all browsers. And then there's also some nonsense that comes along with it. Sometimes people will tell you that your tests are too slow, and that's why they don't want to run them or author them. And then sometimes your test will fail, and they'll tell you that your test is too fast, and they'll contradict themselves. They'll sometimes say that your test is exercising the website in a way that a user can't do. You have to be a little careful with that, because, yeah, probably the user is not going to click as fast. But a lot of times if you do that, you'll have timing issues that your test will uncover that could happen for a user on a slower computer or something. So it's best to just fix them. Sometimes whenever you're going to write tests for a legacy app and you find bugs, they'll say, well, it's been like that for years and they don't want to fix it, so it can be challenging. And they'll oftentimes tell you to work around bugs in your test. So these are some things you have to worry about. I just want to give a big thanks real quick to the SHRED community and foundation, Microsoft, Microsoft Research, Xamarin, everyone watching. And I'm left-handed goat, so you can ping me if you have questions or want help getting started. And I guess we have time for
All
questions.
right, thank you very much. So we do have one question straight here waiting for us in the queue. And Zach is asking if you can show how to use Canopy in the F Sharp interactive mode. So does Canopy work in F Sharp interactive?
Yes, it does, but unfortunately, I'm not very good at interactive, so I
Yeah.
never do it. I can show you real quick this REPL page, though, which will sh it
All
has
right,
a
we'll switch to there.
FSX. Yep. Let me zoom in a little bit. So here you can, it has all your include statements. And if I think if you clone this, it has all the files, all the DLLs already there. So you can highlight all this stuff and you can open it all up. And then Amir has some examples here. So you can open a browser, you can go to your page here, and then in this file, you could add little helper methods for yourself so that you could log in or go to a specific page or purchase a product or whatever your website does. So you could just clone this and then you can extend it to your own likings and need.
All right, cool. I do have to say that I know for sure that Canopy works pretty well in the F Sharp interactive mode
Yep.
because I've been using it that way and I was playing with it.
And I think there's a Channel 9 video of Amir doing it. So you can, yep, right here. So you can find on Channel 9 Amir talking to Seth, and I'm pretty confident that he shows the Canopy REPL.
Oh, nice. So we already have it on Channel 9.
Yeah,
Pretty
exactly.
good. So I guess I've seen one really curious use case of Canopy, which was when Stefan Forkman has been using it,
Right.
because one of the things he's working on is a Visual Studio plugin for Puckett,
Okay.
and he had this crazy script where he was. Like as part of the build script, he wanted to push the new version to the Visual Studio Gallery, and I think Visual Studio Gallery actually doesn't have any API. So what he ended up doing is that he was actually sort of as part of the deploy script running Canopy,
Yep.
like go to the Visual Studio Gallery page, click on things, upload the file there. There was some like a secret JavaScript button he had to click as well. So that was the weirdest use case I've seen.
Yeah, so
But have you seen some other weird things people are doing with Canopy?
yeah, so for myself, I just use it for testing, but like you said, he uses it to automate a task. And I know somebody, Sergey, I think, was using it to. He had data in SharePoint, and he wanted to migrate users from one page to another page or something. So he wrote a script that would read all the data on the screen, and then log in, and then go through and type all the stuff in on the other page. And he used it to migrate data through SharePoint because it also didn't have an API or couldn't access the database directly or something.
Yeah, so data migration tool, deployment tool, testing tool.
Yeah,
That's
anything
fun.
you wanted to. Yep.
We've got one more question here from Andreas, who's asking, can Canopy run on Linux or Mac?
Yep, so I'm on Mac right now.
Let me switch to the screen so that we have a proof. Yes, this most certainly looks like a Mac to me.
Yep, and then I also have I have like a build server that uses Jenkins and it runs on Linux and I use it to run my tests so I know that it works there too. Just recently they made it so that you don't have to do some tricks to do on OS X. Previously you had to do some tricks. For Linux, there's a cool trick you can do where you start like a fake X window and then it will run your test like and it won't pop up a browser and get in your face. So it'll feel more like a console, like a unit test without anything popping up. And then you can also use PhantomJS, which is a headless browser, and then you won't have things pop up either. My preference is just to use Chrome though.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's pretty clever. I haven't thought that you could actually like pop up a fake X window system.
Yep,
But
and you can And you can even do it on Windows if you use PowerShell remoting and you send the command to your to localhost. It will pop it up like behind the scenes, and that way you can simulate some more thing. It's a little tricky to get going, but you can do that too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you said you have there's multiple people who are writing Canopy test that you're working with. So what was your experience with sort of people starting with Canopy when they didn't have much F# background?
Sure. There's two scenarios. Generally, people who have mostly QA experience that don't have a lot of development experience, they pick it up super easy, right? Because you just give them examples and they can copy paste the code and they can tweak it and stuff like that. People who are like developers that have C# experience, it's a little bit harder because they want to understand it more deeply. And they say, what is this? What is this? What is this? And you have to explain what an infix operator is, stuff like that. But they pick it up quickly too. But non-technical people pick it up surprisingly fast. So it's been
Yeah,
really positive, actually, yeah.
yeah. I definitely did have sort of similar experience when I was doing some F# trainings, and often we have people who come from like a wide range of background, and it really seems to me that different people get stuck on different problems. So you get like people who've done lots of Excel, and then they understand the core functional concepts, but when I try to like explain to them how something works in .NET, they're kind of lost a bit. And people with C# background often find sort of getting into F# really easy when they work with the familiar libraries, but find some of the functional concepts a bit weird.
Yeah.
So.
So it works best actually if you have like a developer helping your QA. And this, even if you don't use F#, you have somebody building tools that help the QA people be more effective. That's the sweet spot, right?
Yeah. Right.
Cool.
So thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks to our listeners for staying with us. So do we have the link? Where should people go if they want to learn more? Just Google Canopy or
Yeah,
Bing
you can just
Canopy.
Google Canopy F# and it will be the top result. And then on the right-hand side, there is links to documentation, how NuGet, getting started, and I always try to add as much as I can, and I try to be as active I can. And you can also go to the GitHub page, and if you have questions, you can simply open a issue, and I'll help you with your problem.
All right, very well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in a few minutes or a few seconds. And the next slot is again a shorter one, and we'll have interview with Rachel Reese. So Rachel has been doing talk on microservices before, and now we're just going to chat with her for a bit about her experience with F# and chat. So see you in a few minutes. And Chris, thank you again.
Thank you.